Welcome, sports fans. We're back. Normal time, normal spot. You know, back at the Club Calneva here, right outside the Wim Hill Racing Sportsbook. Obviously, we're on ESPN 94.5 FM. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel to my right from Sportsline. Josh, what's going on? I know you got a lot of UFC stuff to talk about.
Well, exactly, Ken, but there's, you know, NFL, college weekend, huge rivalry weekend for the college games, right? You got Kentucky and Georgia for the SEC East title, Michigan, Penn State, all kinds of huge games that all have the implications.
Alabama.
Alabama, LSU, everything's shaping up, these big matchups. So, yeah, all week at Sportsline, we've been doing all that along with the regular NFL stuff. But NBA firing up, so it's a huge sports week all around.
So you got to fire up the app sometimes and just make some wagers.
I was just firing it up to check all those odds.
And then we also have the first BCS poll came out this week.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so Mark Kid Vespi, what's going on, buddy?
Ken, what's happening?
Got your Wolfpack hat on.
Yep. Hey, College Hoops starts Tuesday also.
Yeah, I know. Wolfpack plays BYU. I tell you guys why. We're not going to be in before then, but I just checked a little bit earlier. I haven't seen the lines come out yet, but if BYU is getting a ton of points in this game, I'm saying if BYU is getting more than 8 points in this game, I'm going to have a wager on BYU. Early in the year, BYU's returning four starters, a very disciplined team. They run a lot of good set offenses, and I think that the way the Pac's looked in these first two scrimmages, I still think the Pac's going to beat them, you know, but I think that BYU's going to, you know, just, I think the Pac's identity still needs to be defined a little bit. I'm not exactly sure, you know, identity-wise, rotation-wise, and things like that. I still think the Pac's going to win the game, but like I said, if I'm getting a grip of points, I might be looking for BYU to keep this game close, Josh. This game's Tuesday.
It might not be a bad idea, Ken. I'm curious, too, to see what the lines are, particularly since we know Nevada's getting a ton of hype. Not only, you know, the national polls or whatnot, they're in the top five just about everywhere, as we know, could lead to some public perception, which means, like, right from the start, you might see little inflated lines
exactly.
Just based on the massive
exactly.
expectations. One thing, Ken, we didn't talk about last week, I realized we had a shortened show, and I didn't see you there, but you were at the Washington exhibition, right?
Yes.
That was a crazy game where it's like, well, it's one thing. Washington's expected to be good. Nevada's making their debut. I found it, as these exhibitions go, to be a highly entertaining game. Understand Eric Musselman was upset with the defense, and rightfully so. But the biggest thing I had from that is I think Nevada will be fine. But how good's Washington?
They shot lights out.
Yeah,
those guards
are
incredible.
I know, okay. I was thinking all their top three guys, but every time they made these moves to the hoops, I mean, they had the floaters. I mean, everything they did. And granted,
they shot.
Everything went in. And I figured if Washington's half as good, and they had a couple decent big guys, I just thought, I just want to remember that because if they're half as good in all their other games, that's a team to look out for.
Totally agree with that. They looked fantastic. Trey Porter didn't play the second half. Nevada took a 40-39 lead at halftime, and he didn't play the second half. Did a lot of rotation, but he still was not pleased with the effort that they put out. I really thought we'd see a more lopsided score. I know that you're going to say they won by 25, but I do believe that this last game, too, it was close at halftime.
They trailed by one at the break?
They might have trailed by one. Yeah, exactly, Josh. They trailed by one at the halftime, took over in the second half.
San Francisco State's been on the uptick, too, lately.
It ended up separating in the second half, but you know, I think that once this at this one time we had this anticipated rotation of being 10 guys. I'm going to bet you guys this. I think it's going to be about a 7-man rotation. I really do. And it
worked last year.
It came out. You know, some forecasts came out that it looks like Trayshawn is going to start instead of Jordan Brown too. So it's the two Martin twins, Cody, Caleb, and then you have Jordan Caroline, Trey Porter, and it looks like Trayshawn Thurman is going to be the other guy. So with that being said, Wolfpack basketball tips off on Tuesday night. Mark?
Can I bet the second half over right now?
Yeah, no doubt, huh?
BYU, Nevada, it's going to be 81. I'll take it over right now.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Second half over? Just like that. All right. What else is going on, Josh? We're going to get into the UFC a little bit early or a little bit later. I know you have some interesting stuff on that. Hey, make sure you like us at Facebook on Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. One thing I've been doing the last few weeks is I take all these tout services, the Point Wise, the Gold Sheet. There's a bunch of them. Power Picks, Football Tip Sheet, and I write down their best picks and then see what matches. You know, and last week I think they went 2-1. So, and there's some big matches, huge matches this week, which we'll get into. But I post the sheet on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. And basically, like I said, it's the top plays from all the tout services in the United States. I'm lucky enough to get those copies for free. And so, you know, since I'm just kind of sharing it with the listeners now that, you know, and I write them down on a piece of paper. Sorry if there's any grammatical errors on my chicken scratch sheet, but Look at it. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Like the show, too. So with that being said, might as well just jump into football, guys. You ready? Vikings at home versus the Lions. Nick used 4.5 on the half-point card. It's at 5 right now with a total of 49. You know, the Lions, they're 3-4 this year, but they're 5-2 against the spread, vice versa. Minnesota's 4-3 for the year and 4-3 versus the spread. So, you know, I look at this game and I still – I think finally maybe the Minnesota defense is getting a little bit better. Delvin Cook, it looks like he's been practicing. He looks like he's going to get 8 to 12 touches. And then I believe Minnesota has a bye next week, so they're going to get him in there, get him hit a little bit, and then get Delvin Cook back following the bye. You know, but I look at this game, you know, it's the number's going up, 4.5 on the card. You know, I'm looking to probably play Minnesota and kind of, you know, a big division game right here and get the win.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a tough one, too, because both teams are in a similar spot, right? Minnesota had a bit of a letdown. They had a huge game last week against New Orleans, a chance to, I thought, you know, kind of restore some momentum going forward in the season. I actually thought they would win that game, and the Saints pretty much dominated. It was interesting because I actually looked into that game quite a bit for Sportsline, and New Orleans was held. They only gained like 250 yards of total offense, so the defense did the job for Minnesota, but they had the turnover right before halftime, and they had a fourth down stop early in the second half. Basically, they gave New Orleans two short fields, paid for it, and their, you know, season just hasn't lived up to expectations so far. But Detroit's the same thing. They're coming off. They got blown out at home by Seattle. I think the Lions, it's one of those odd teams where I don't believe they're as bad as they looked in week one that lost to the Jets, but not as good as they were in the win against the Patriots. You know, of the two, I just think, yeah, Minnesota a little more desperate, home field edge. It's still a lot of points to lay, though, for what's been kind of a marginal team.
You know, Mark, a couple of head-to-head trends I have right here. The under is 5-0 the last five meetings in Minnesota, and of the last nine times these two teams met, seven of them went under. So it looks like it plays to an under pace.
And Detroit won there last year for what it's worth.
Yeah, so, Mark?
I think they covered both games last year. And this rivalry has been highly contested and low-scoring games, you know, similar to those Pittsburgh-Baltimore games, you know, a lot of those type of games, you know, 16-13, 19-16, things like that. But I think the Vikings are due here for a big win, and I think they're going to put it on the Lions. I don't know what the deal was with why the Lions got rid of Tate last week, you know, but he's their best player. I know they believe in their young receivers, but it's tough to lose their best receiver, I think, right, you know, going into this matchup. And the Vikings, you know, I think they should have won last week. That fumble going into the end zone, you know, before
they have
it's going to be 20-10 maybe, or 16-10, plus the ball coming out of the half. I mean, it really changed the complexion of the game. And the Vikings just went up and down the field. I think Cousins is playing really well. The Lions have the worst pass defense in the NFL. The run defense isn't much better. I think the Lions are going to get healthy right here, big time.
The Lions?
I mean, I'm sorry, the Vikings.
Okay, I was going to say. You know, talk about Tate real quick. They weren't going to sign him in the offseason, and apparently they got this rookie kid that he's been mentoring a little bit.
Yeah, Galloway. And he's
no, not Galloway.
It's
not Galloway. They have Jones and Galloway now who's going to take over. But this rookie's going to step into his position, and they think that he's going to be able to fill those shoes. So I kind of agree with you, Mark. I like Minnesota in this spot. Josh, real quick.
Oh, you mean Kenny Golladay, right?
He's been around a few years now.
No,
but there's another guy.
Okay. But, yeah, it's, again, yeah, a tough call, Ken, because the Lions, for some reason, hang around with the Vikings quite a bit. But I think it's Minnesota in terms of the motivation spot.
All right, Kansas City. The Kansas City Chiefs going on the road to play the Cleveland Browns. This Chiefs team, I mean, I tell you, I love watching this Chiefs team. It's like pinball, video game, football. I mean, this team's 7-1. What are they against the spread? 7-1 and 7-1 against the spread. But what's weird here is the total. You think about this high scoring offense. They're only 4-3-1 on the totals. I saw that today. It kind of surprised me a little bit. But yeah. Kansas City going on the road opened at 9.5. It's down to 8.5. Total went from 51.5 to 52.5. Brand new head coach, brand new OC in Cleveland. Man, this just doesn't – Mark, 10-point teaser. Give me the Chiefs to win the game, baby.
Yeah, you know I love them on the 10-point teasers. They've had two totals that went under by a half point, though, or a point. So that could be, you know, almost 7-1 to that number, too, depending on what number you get. I bet a lot of teasers, so I've covered a couple times on those situations. But I think 51's a low total in this situation. I mean, you know, I think Chiefs are going to get theirs. And I guess one of the biggest reasons that Hugh Jackson got fired was he wasn't letting – Baker Mayfield just kind of sling it around a little bit. So I think you see a lot more of that this weekend.
Yeah, there's a always that, you know, handicapping. It's especially true in the NBA, right, to make a coaching change. And usually even happened with the Cavaliers, who were horrible, lost their first six games, right, fired Ty Lue, and they won the next game by 30. You see that happen. You see it in the NFL as well. It's interesting circumstance. By the way, those totals you mentioned, I think after the Chiefs scored so much the first couple of weeks, they just got a little bit bloated. That's why a couple barely went under. But I like the Browns here, and it's weird because I've been a bit of a skeptic to get behind them too much. But in this situation, if you watch Hard Knocks, it was interesting because it was clear, and that's obviously no holds barred look at your reality show behind the scenes, and they show you everything. It was clear, especially if you watch the first couple episodes, that those coordinators didn't respect Hugh Jackson at all, and they pretty much let it be known. It was both, you know, Greg Williams and Todd Haley. They're like rolling their eyes. They're saying things during meetings, and even Hugh Jackson had to stand up for himself, which for head coach is pretty pathetic. Like, you wouldn't imagine anyone ever doing that to Bill Belichick to his face. But they would roll their eyes, make sarcastic comments, and even Hugh Jackson would have to say, look, you may not like it or not. This is my, you know, I'm the head coach, and you can deal with it or you can bail. They clearly didn't respect him, which, you know, is going to carry over to some of the players. So I think it's funny, whereas clearly Hugh Jackson had that conflict with Todd Haley. I just think it's funny that they let them both go. We're both were angling for the other guy to get canned. They said, you know what, you guys are both the problem. Get out of here. They kept Williams. And I just think it'd be one of those things. The players are probably happy to have that tension gone. I bet you they play well.
Going back to what you just said, Josh and Mark, could you imagine, you know, you find out that Hugh's gone. Obviously, you know, they call it, the GM calls in Hugh Jackson and fires him. Then they call in Haley. Haley's going in there thinking, I'm getting promoted. And they said, nah, you're out of here too, pal. Yeah. So could you imagine? Could you imagine the expression on his face when that happened? That's absolutely amazing. Kid, the Chiefs are only 1-5. The Browns are 5-1 the last six meeting heads up against the spread.
When was the last time they played, though? I mean,
I don't know.
Is this one
1952.
Thing,
who cares, Mark?
It's crazy. This is going to be an entertaining game. I feel like it'll be pretty high scoring. I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns, you know, hung in until the very end. I'm not interested in laying that many points on the road in this situation, but I think it'll be a lot of points.
I think of the matchup, Mark, with just from a couple of years ago, but we've seen this before, right? Mahomes and Baker Mayfield in the Big 12. You know, Texas Tech and Oklahoma, they had some pretty memorable wars, and this will be, obviously, it's a different deal with, you know, 52 different teammates and a pro concept going, but still, should be an entertaining game.
I know a lot of the sharps are on the Browns. You know, for whatever that's worth.
That kind of dictates the move, you know. But I look at this, though. Cleveland has the 28th ranked defense in the NFL. They're giving up 414 yards a game, you know, and I'm looking at what they've done. The last 51 games versus the spread, Cleveland's 15-35-1. They're 7-18 against their spread the last 25 at home. So this is going to – I'll throw this game in my usual 16, $40 –
Chalking over,
and I'll probably end up with some Chiefs and over, and probably some Chiefs on a 10-point teaser, Mark.
Rams and over, Patriots and over?
Well, we're getting there. We're getting there, buddy. The Ravens versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Nick opened at 2.5, with the Ravens being favored by 2.5. It's went up to 3, which is kind of unusual to me, because if you give me the Steelers plus 3, you got me all day. Total's 47.5. Going back to what I was talking about, you know, with all these tout services and them putting their best selections together of these tout services, 5 of them matched on the Steelers. 5 of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, you know, kid, that's a lot. And we know it's kind of funny because whether we do this on the show or it happens a lot on Sportsline, it seems like the kiss of death. When everyone's on one side, it's usually a bad sign and the other one comes in. But I like the Steelers as well, if only for this reason. I've thought this from the start with the Ravens. I think they're overrated. In terms of the market, is in popular perception and in the spreads, you look, the last time they were 3.5-point favorite against New Orleans, they lost that one outright. And the Ravens seem to be getting all this respect that I don't really see for their 4-4 team. I mean, they're just kind of average with a decent defense. The Steelers are coming along, and I feel like despite their early struggles, they've come together a little bit of late. And, with plus 3 points here, that's the way to go.
Yeah, and the Ravens won the first matchup, right? So you're looking at a reverse here.
Natural reverse, baby.
And so, I mean, these games go down to a field goal so many times. As long as you can get that 3, I'd feel good about either side for the most part. But it seems to me like you get the Steelers plus 3, that's the way to go. But I like a lot of points in this game as well. I think both teams can have a lot of big plays in the offensive game, in the passing game, and I think it'll, you know, 47 is kind of a short number these days in the NFL, I think. So I'm looking 30-24, something like that. So I like it over.
You know, the only trends that I have head-to-head here is the under mark is 4-0 the last four meetings in Baltimore. So, with and 5-2, 5-2-1 the last eight meetings overall. So, you know, but the dog in this series is 6-1-1 the last eight. So, you know, I'm with you guys. I think I could see this game going either way as far as the total is concerned, Mark. I could really see a 21-17 game, or I could see a 28-31 game. So I'll probably pass on the total, but you know, I'm going to be looking to get the Steelers plus a field goal. Hopefully, you know, this continues to go up. Like I said, Nick opened up at 2.5 and 47.5, and it's already it went up half a point to a 3. So I can still get 3.5. You know, by lay 120 and take the 3.5. But you know, I think I guess I really don't see any comeback money on Pittsburgh, so on the Ravens. I think it'll all be a Pittsburgh comeback money.
Yeah, Ken, I wouldn't be surprised too, given that Pittsburgh is also the more popular public team. It wouldn't surprise me if that was down to 2.5 by kickoff. Yeah, take the full 3 while you get a chance.
Yeah,
that's one of those that could go off the key number pretty easily.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, let's head off to our first commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue handicapping sports. This is the William Hill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back here at the Club Calneva, right in front of the William Hill Sportsbook on ESPN 94.5 FM, going down this NFL slate. Got a few games in. Might as well just continue right down the slate. The Panthers at home versus Tampa Bay. Opened up at 6.5 and 54.5. It's still hovering right there at the same number, 6.5 and 54.5. This is interesting. You know, they were so quick to pull the trigger on Winston, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic, whatever they call that guy, you know, coming back in. I don't know. I'm still having trouble buying into Carolina, even though they're 5-2, 4-3 against the spread, Tampa Bay 3-4. I mean, are you guys comfortable laying 6.5 in this game?
No, Ken, here's the thing, too. The thing with Carolina is they are undervalued sometimes. Again, like last week, like what were they doing being a field goal underdog to the Ravens, right? That was an easy call. I'm glad that worked out. When they're getting points or it's a short spread, you count on them pretty well. In this situation, though, where you're laying what is a big number by NFL standards, a full touchdown, it's too much, and you're right on the Bucs. I had obviously a feeling they would drop off. Can't decide what they're going to do at quarterback. I think it's good for them that they finally decided to stick with Fitzpatrick for the time being, because it's pretty clear that the team has more faith in him and they are simply more effective when he's on the field. Jameis Winston threw 4 interceptions. He's been pretty bad ever since they inserted him in the lineup. So to kind of go with him, the Bucs are better. But they could be a little erratic and hard to figure out. But with this many points and with Fitzpatrick back in there the whole time, a hard time saying that Carolina could create some separation, win by 7 or more. If I got a full 7, I'm on Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. Just like you're saying, the Panthers are much better betting situation with a short number or as a home dog or even a short dog on the road. But I think this year, I mean, they got that look about them, you know, as a couple of their runs in the past few years. And the Buccaneers have just been hit or miss. I mean, especially on the road, they've gotten waxed a couple times. They did have, you know, that nice win the first week of the year against the Saints on the road, but I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I don't love laying 6.5, but I would not be on the Buccaneers on this side because Fitzmagic, you start to believe in him, here comes the 4-interception game. And Panthers can do that to you. So I think it's like a 38-16 Panthers game here.
All the trends are on the unders and the dog. The unders are 4-0 the last four meetings. The dog is 4-0 against the spread the last four meetings. The road team's 4-0 the last four meetings. So you know you look at this and it's all looking like the points. You know should be the way to go. I agree with you, Josh. Give me Tampa Bay in 7. I mean the offense is high scoring enough that they're not really out of it. I mean, if they're down 17 in the fourth, I mean, they easily could reel off 10.
And they've done that a few times. You're right. Tampa Bay is explosive enough to make up ground pretty quick.
Yeah, so, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. You know, I don't have any – I'm going to be on the other side, obviously, than Mark. You know, I look at Tampa Bay. They're the number one offense in the NFL, 467 yards a game.
Yeah, I just think there'll be a lot of points. I'm not saying the Panthers will cover. If I had to pick it, I would take the Panthers side of it. But I don't – I'm not going to bet the Panthers. I'm not laying 6.5.
All right.
But I'm betting it over for sure.
Miami at home versus the Jets. This is an interesting line move here. Opened at 3.5, a full point move on the other side. So the early money's coming in on the Jets. It's down to 2.5. The total, 45.5, a 2-point move on the total down. So all the money's coming in on dog and under. Yeah. I don't know. I have a lot of trouble getting on the right side when it comes to the Jets.
I do as well. But one thing you know, or you guys are aware of my general take, I have a hard time. I mean, I just imagine if the Jets had put Teddy Bridgewater in there at quarterback, along with all the other improvements they've made, that'd be a solid-looking team. I think they made a disastrous decision by drafting then starting Sam Darnold. I just simply can't bet them with him under center because he's still turnover waiting to happen at any time. And the Dolphins, you know, they won in New York like second week of the season, but they've fallen so far off. They've had a ton of injuries. And, Ken, I think this is a perception thing based on – we saw that last game against whatever. They gave 50-odd points to the Texans. Dolphins look like a high school defense out there. And I think that's based on the idea if you can get 3.5 points at this point in current form, the Jets may be a little better. I would normally lean toward Miami, but I'm not sure if the Jets aren't the right side here just because Miami's falling apart.
You know, Mark, head-to-head, the last 22 meetings, the Jets have covered 16 of them.
Yeah, and they play well in South Florida. I mean, this game, they usually go down there and – beat the Dolphins. So, and the Dolphins, you know, on the other side of it, usually go up to New York and play well, which is weird. And they dominated that game earlier this year. You know, they got some turnovers from Darnold. Just like you're saying, John, I don't think any of these quarterbacks should start their first year. Just look at Chiefs quarterback, you know. I mean,
Mahomes,
like just that year, I think that just did so much for him. You know what I mean? And he did get a start at the end of the year last year, but I think it was big. And I think it's tough for these guys to just come right in and have a lot of success, especially someone like Darnold, who has a history of turning the ball over. You know, he could use a year under his belt. Now, it's easy to say now, of course, but in any case, I think the Jets with the points is the value here. They usually play well down there. Dolphins are kind of tough to get a gauge on, but I'll take the Jets plus the points.
Jets plus points. Chicago and Buffalo. Chicago, heck, I got out of order here. Let's go to the Redskins and the Falcons. Redskins at home. Laying 1.5, total was opened up at 46.5. It's up to 48. So it looks like a lot of money coming in on this over. A lot of people think that this Redskins Falcons game is going to go over. I can see the reasoning there. You know, both teams look to be explosive. So what do you guys think, Josh?
I like Atlanta a little bit, Ken. The Redskins, it's kind of interesting where, you know, the Eagles won the Super Bowl and everyone thought the Cowboys would be improved. So and the Giants for that matter. So in all the preseason predictions and everything, I mean, the Redskins were dead last in everyone's predictions in the NFC East. They're in first place. So they clearly made some improvements. They've covered the last three at home, and they've beat Green Bay and Carolina. They've beaten some good teams there. But I just feel like this is a little sneaky, you know, line there with as erratic as the Falcons have been as well. I just still think, you know, if this is the first game of the year, it's probably Falcons -3 or 3.5. And I just kind of like that we're, you know, they're kind of a sneaky underdog here. I don't want to play the Redskins. I mean, they've done better than expected, but I don't like them in this spot here as a favorite. I kind of like Atlanta.
That's another game where I just like a lot of points in this game. I mean, the Falcons' defense has been pretty pathetic. They're still beat up in the secondary. You know, the Redskins are moving the ball as of late. I think they're a much better home team, and they score a lot more points at home. And I just feel like this is going to be – you know, Atlanta's probably going to get there, so – just look for a lot of points. It's tough to pick a side here. I mean, if I had to pick a side, I would take the Redskins just because they're kind of on a roll, and I think they're a better all-around team, especially from the defensive side. They've got the two best safeties in football. So, I mean, I'll take the Redskins if I had to pick the side, but I love the over.
I like the over. You know, Atlanta's one of only seven teams that averages over 400 yards a game in total offense. So, with that being said, you know, I can see that why you guys have this lean on the total, you know, going over. Atlanta 3-4 this year. It's very unusual. You know, you look at this team and the skill players are still there. I mean, you know, you still have the Julio and the Freeman and Matt Ryan and Hooper and all these guys. You know, it's just been an underachieving year so far for the Atlanta Falcons. They're 2-5 against the spread, 3-4 overall this year. You know, and on the flip side, you know, Washington's kind of the surprise of the NFC South, you know, this year. 5-2 against the spread. Excuse me, NFC East, excuse me. So 5-2. I mean, 5-2 versus the spread. I keep waiting for the shoe to fall off on Washington, and I kind of think that it might happen this week. I'm going to back Atlanta in this, Josh.
Yep, sure.
Why do you believe in Atlanta so much?
I don't necessarily believe in them. It's just the 5-2 versus a 3-4 team and all the skill, and I'm going to get the Falcons.
I'm just curious because I hear a lot of people this week are really like Atlanta for the spot or whatever. But
well, I know that
seems like Atlanta's just. I mean, the Redskins. Not that the Redskins are world beaters in any stretch, but I'm wondering why everybody kind of likes the Falcons this week when the Falcons are just they're just so up and down. There's like how do you pick this spot for Atlanta to show us what they're made of? You know, that's all. That's all I'm wondering is just I'm just saying, does it come from?
I'm taking the team that it gives that that averages 400 yards a game in total offense and taking the points.
It seems like Sark isn't quite. I don't know. There's just something missing there. Like you just.
Well, pretty much, Mark. They went from same setting NFL records like 36 points a game to 22 with
the same people.
Yes, with the same personnel.
That's why it's just.
That's what I was saying. What I was saying. You know, so I don't know. I mean, you look at this game. Let's see what the trends have. Do we have any good trends on this game? Head-to-head trends.
I can't even remember the last time Atlanta played the Redskins.
The road team is 5-1 against the spread the last six meetings. See if we have anything.
That's a good trend towards the Atlanta side.
Yeah. So let's see what we got here. The Falcons.
If you believe in trends.
I believe in trends. I believe in matchup trends sometimes. I absolutely do.
Some definitely apply.
So let's go to the next game here. Got to scroll up here. The Bears. Where's the Bears at? The Bears and the Bills. Chicago at home opened at 9.5. It's went to 10. 37.5. Derek Anderson is out. He's got a concussion. You know, he's from last week when the Patriots sucked out and took the money. We loved it though, didn't we, Mark?
We did. I can't say I didn't enjoy it.
I know, crazy game. But you know, I look at this game too. I mean, this Bears team 4-3 going against this Bills team. That's just this Bill team. Short week coming off the Patriots. McCoy is really only the only offensive. Perryman's going to start. McCoy is really the only offensive weapon that they have. And you know, and this Bear defense, you know, everybody's
Peterman,
yeah, is ranked in the top 10. You know, they're only giving up 382 yards a game. You know, I look at that's the offense. Chicago's seventh on defense, giving up 329 yards a game, only 83 yards per game on the ground. So that's obviously the strength. And now you have LeSean McCoy trying to penetrate that defense, and I think that they're going to stack the box, and I think there's going to be some mistakes made on offense. I'm looking to probably throw this in a 10-point teaser, guys, and get the Bears at home just to win the game. The Bears on the road to win the game.
That's the key thing, Ken, because we talked about how the Bears have made a pretty rapid improvement. I think they're fun to watch. It's kind of funny because the past few years, you know, under John Fox or whatever, I mean, they were just dreadful, and they've made a quick turnaround with the addition personnel, right? They added Khalil Mack and a couple weapons on offense, and this is a pretty decent team. But as we've seen with the Bears so far, Ken, one thing as a road chalk, they haven't done very well. They didn't cover at Arizona. And as downtrodden as the Bills are, I think they cover this one. I mean, it's just one of those. You get the double figures. As bad as they've been on offense, they should have covered last week. And obviously the Patriots are better offensively than the Bears. But the Bills should have easily covered that spread. Of course, it took a late pick six for that to not happen. You don't know, Ken, this is one of those things. Is this a correlated parlay no matter what you want? Because 37.5, such a short total. I think you have to, right, either go Bears and over or Bills and under. But the latter is what I'm taking because I bet you it's one of those ugly, grinding things that Bears win by 3 or 4.
I think my prediction here is I think the Bears get a defensive touchdown, Mark.
Well, I can totally see that happening. I mean, it's just tough for the Bears to lay 10 on the road to anybody. I mean, the Bills' defense is – worthy enough, I think, to keep it within this number. I've just heard a lot of sentiment this week for the Bears just because of how bad the Bills are and Peterman's going to throw and all this. Bills at home plus points is a principal play for me almost always. So I'm going to have a little play on the Bills.
I know, Mark.
Even though I don't feel comfortable about it, but give me the Bills at home plus 10, I'm taking it. We'll get against almost anybody.
Not to mention, Mark, Buffalo has the number 6 ranked defense in the NFL, only 329 yards a game. So one thing they can do is D up a little bit.
And I'm going to predict that Peterman has a good game.
Predict? Okay, define good game. What standards are we looking at?
No picks.
No picks?
Wow. I don't know if I can get that far, Josh.
No picks?
I'll say one pick or less.
Okay, how many sacks?
Well, that's not his fault.
Sure it is.
Well, some of them can be, but some of them
he's going to hold the ball too long.
I'm just going to say at the end of the game, you're going to go, he played pretty good.
All right. Outback dinner on it?
Okay, you got it.
Nice. I got the Chicago Bear defense.
Yeah, you got to define.
No, it's.
What's the bet on the points or on Peterman?
Here's the deal. I'll make my assumption. Kid will make his assumption, and if we don't agree, Josh, you're the tiebreaker.
All right.
Fair enough.
Yeah, because I know you hate Mark, so I'm already one up.
I think it's fair.
Look at Josh.
I don't trust his judgment.
Kid expects my inherent bias to be the deciding factor in this bet.
I'm handicapping the handicapper.
Nice.
I feel good about it.
Subjective decision. Like boxing, I just get to judge who wins the bet.
Yeah. All right. I mean, you can't be worse than any other these boxing judges that I've seen.
Go Peterman.
Yeah, so we'll see. All right, good deal. I can't wait. I have an Outback dinner bet that Peterman doesn't have a good game.
Plays well.
What's that? Olive Garden? No, go ahead. We're going to a steakhouse. Well, we're not really going to a steakhouse. We're going to Outback, but it's good.
Australian steakhouse.
Yes, Australian steakhouse. I can run that bill up just fine. Denver at home versus the Texans. Opened at 1.5, down to 1. You know, everybody knows Demaryius Thomas got traded to the Houston Texans, and now they're actually playing this week. A lot of wise guys are on the Texans. 6 matches in my tout sheets. That it's the highest number of matches in this game with Houston. You know. Houston, it's another team that I have trouble getting on the right side of. The same thing with Denver. Earlier in the year, Josh and Mark, it looked like Houston was just going to be a failure, and here they are. They've reeled off a bunch of consecutive wins. They're 5-3 right now, and they're 2 games up in the AFC South at 5-3. You know, Tennessee's 3-4, Jacksonville 3-5, Indianapolis 3-5, but man, I look at this game. I mean,
they got 5 straight wins, right?
Yeah, 5 straight wins, I think. So, what do you think? What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's a tough one, Ken. You're right. I similarly have had a difficult handicapping both these clubs. One of the things I've kind of learned about the Broncos is, I don't know, Case Keenum has been a lot worse than I expected. I thought Denver was going to get a significant upgrade. He's better than what they had, but he's been so turnover prone. I've got to say, it was interesting because back when the Vikings did their thing, I wondered if they paid Kirk Cousins so much money if it wasn't a mistake. But I will say now that Minnesota, even though I don't think it's a huge upgrade, they are better with Kirk Cousins because, I mean, Keenum is just sort of looking like that journeyman who should probably be a backup. And one thing I've learned about Denver is I think by and large they're only reliable against, you know, they'll beat Arizona by 20 points. They can beat bad teams. The Texans now look like a good one. I probably would only have Houston in this one.
I think, Mark, I'm going to actually probably play this game under the 46. I think both teams are going to try and run the ball a little bit. You know, you're going to get a big dose of Lindsay. You're going to get a big dose of Miller. And I think that, you know, the games will open up for these teams if the pace dictates, you know, for it to be open. But I like, you know, you might get a little weather over there. I think 46 is a little bit too many points, Mark. I think this game goes
under. Oh, I
agree.
I mean, you just say it out loud, Texans-Broncos over the last couple of years. I mean, that would, you know – I was surprised the number was this high. I was thinking it would be more like a 41 or 42. You know, I know some of the totals are adjusted a little because of the way the season's gone, but still it seems like a different value. So the value is on the under for me. I like the under. Short number. I think the Texans are the side here. They seem to got everything going together. Deshaun Watson's looking good. The only thing is O'Brien just – I just don't trust him as a coach. So
me either.
But I don't trust the Broncos coach either, so it's tough. I mean, I'll take Texans in the under. That's where I lean.
You know, Josh, the last 7 home games Denver's had, 5 of one under, so they're 5-2. So they do tend to play a little bit under. And on the flip side, the Texans, they're 4-1 as far as unders in road games. So, you know, here we are. The Texans go on the road. 4 out of their 5 games always have been going under, and vice versa. You know, you got the Broncos at home, where 5 of their 7. Last 7 have went under, so yeah. I think I'm going to take the under 46.5 and just shove my money in there and just see how that works. So let's head off for our next commercial break. This is the Windmill Sports Show. Come to you live from the Club Count Evil on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back, sports fans. I'm Kenny B. here with Mark the Kid Vespy and Josh Nagel from Sportsline. Make sure that you get all of Josh's stuff at Sportsline. Josh, go ahead. I got to text somebody, so go ahead and talk.
Sure, Ken. Well, like you mentioned, Sportsline.com. We have everything up there. Full analysis, previews, breakdowns, spread predictions, every NFL college game and every other sport as well, NBA, UFC, college, football, and hoops, which is coming right up. So everything there, subscriptions, $10 a month, or there's plenty of free stuff if you don't want to join up. So it's there and on Twitter at JoshNagel1.
All right, there you have it. And you can follow the show at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. That's Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. We put a lot of stuff out there. You know, we'll put our picks on at the end of the night. You know, we'll give our top 3 picks. Me, Mark Vespy, John the Hawk Stevens, Josh Nagel, Kenny B, myself, and Mark Shannon usually gives us some of his stuff. Mark's a really sharp guy, too. So hopefully you guys can find some winners. That's Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping on Facebook. Next game we're going to handicap or look at is Seattle at home versus the Chargers. Nick used 1.5 and 48.5. The side's still hovering right there at the 1.5. A small move on the total. It moved half a point under, so it's down to 48. And when I say Nick, just so the listeners know, I'm referring to Nick Bogdanovich. He's the head trader or bookie for William Hill. He's the guy, the brains behind all these lines. So all these lines that go up, he's the one that posts all these lines. So, you know, a good friend of mine, I've known Nick for a lot of years. Talked to him probably 6 times a week or text him, you know. Actually, I take that back. I probably talk to him every day, to be honest with you. But, you know, one of the sharpest handicappers in the world, and he's the one that puts all these lines up. So when I'm referring to Nick, and I say Nick uses, that's who we're referring to.
Yeah, and it's worth noting, if people weren't aware, you know, your connection to him and what it all started from. Not only is he heading up William Hill U.S., which is like the biggest sports betting outlet in the country now in Nevada. You know, they've been around for 6 or 7 years now, and he got chosen to lead that up. He's an old Calneva guy.
So, yes.
You know, that's what started. Yeah. He was the head of the Calneva sportsbook chain for many years, and it was a good name to have because for years he was at Mandalay Bay. I mean, he's a well-known guy in the business, and for the longest time he was the best-known odds maker in northern Nevada for sure.
Yeah. So, and there's a great picture, though, if you want to see us. We go down to Vegas often, and we always end up in a poker game. Me, Nick Bogdanovich, Jimmy Vaccaro, Chris Andrews, Richie from the Sports Handicappers, Guy Acello, and all those guys. Mark was there.
Kid
was there last time. So it's pretty fun, isn't it, Mark?
Oh, it was great.
And there's a great picture of all of us playing poker at Richie's house on our Facebook
nice.
Page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. So if you want to put faces to names, you know, you can see Jimmy Vaccaro and all those guys. It's outstanding stuff. Anyway, back to Seattle. Seattle at home. Laying 1.5 to the Chargers, 48's the total. Listen, I know everybody's on Seattle right here. I'm looking at the confidential kickoff has Seattle as one of their big plays, you know. But I don't see it, guys. I really don't see it. I think the Chargers are. You can make an argument, in my opinion, that the Chargers might be the best team in the AFC. They're 5-2. They're only 3-4 against the spread. They're coming off 3-4 against the spread. That's correct. They're coming off a bye, but I mean, I look at this 4-3 Seattle team, and I think they're overachieving. I mean, if I can get the Chargers in points, I mean, the Chargers can go up there and win this game just as much as Seattle could win it. I mean, give me the Chargers here.
Yeah, I agree, Ken, in the sense that it's interesting on Seattle because with all their roster changes and overhaul, I thought there was the anticipation that they were just basically you're rebuilding / tanking, for lack of a better word. And I was on the lookout for – I felt like, yeah, they'd be a little bit different. But with the guys they kept, you know, sometimes razor-thin margins between who's second on the depth chart. The point being is I thought Seattle would be respectable, and I anticipated – being able to get some value on them. Like, hey, look out for if they're a big underdog, the Seahawks won't be awful. And that was true early on. You're able to get some pretty good value on them. But now it looks like, you know, the odds makers have caught up to them. Now I feel like it's going the other way. They're getting a little too much respect in the sense that, you know, you're able to grab some early on. For instance, like when they were at home, basically a pick 'em against the Cowboys, I thought that was pretty easy value. But in this one here, I think we're getting a little carried away when Seattle's favored in this one. So I would take the points also.
Dogs 5-0 against the spread last 5 meetings, Mark.
Yeah, I like the Seahawks in this game.
That's okay.
Short number, at home. They've been playing really well. Russell Wilson's been playing amazing because they're running on the ball. That's helping them a lot.
They
have more
out.
Of an identity now like they used to. Last couple of years they kind of lost it. I think they're kind of pointing that way. Chargers should have lost in London. I mean, it was a ridiculous coaching decision to go for two there. The Titans were dominating the second half. They were wearing them down. Titans would have won that game most likely if they'd have gone into overtime. Chargers, that would change. They'd be a 4-4 team. I just think the Chargers are overrated. They've had the benefit of a good schedule, and there's something missing with them. And I don't know how Gordon is. He's 100% now, or I know he's going to play, but they don't think he's 100%. So I like Seattle. Short number at home, 12th man. Seahawks all day long. Give me that.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I'm looking at, like I said, the dog's 5-0. But I guess, you know, when I'm looking at trends, when you say dog, you know, I want more than a 1.5 point spread.
Right, it barely counts.
Yeah, exactly. It's right. More of a pick'em. So this is probably game. This is probably I would only have Seattle in the. Excuse me, I would only have the Chargers in this game. But it's probably one of the games that I'm going to steer clear from because some of the people that I respect in the industry, they kind of lean towards Seattle too. So
okay.
With that being said, it's probably a pass. My gut tells me that San Diego is going to hang around in this game. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the last 6 minutes of the game, but I think San Diego's going to be in the game the whole way.
Right. And, Mark, I agree in terms of, you know, I've never been a big on the Chargers. I think in the bigger picture that they don't stack up, right, like against the elite teams. I think, well, Kansas City's already beat them once on the road and probably will again. So, in terms of elite playoff contenders, I don't think so. But I just think against Seattle, they're probably a little undervalued in this particular game.
All right, next game we have is a doozy, the Rams and the Saints. You know, 6-1 Rams, 8-0 Saints. You know, the Saints are 5-2 against the spread this year. The Rams are 4-4. You know, this Rams team, you know, they're 8-0, and now they're going to New Orleans, and they're getting a point and a half. I mean, I know the Saints are the Saints, and I know that they're 6-1, and I know that, you know, they're ahead in their division, obviously. But man, I mean, how it's hard for me. It's hard for me to say, okay, I'm going to all of a sudden think the Rams are going to lose. You know, Gurley's having an MVP year. Goff is out of his mind right now. Cooper Kupp, I believe he's supposed to come back this week. So, you know, and this is just an attention-getting game. You know, it's 8-0. I mean, when does the motivation, I guess, for the Rams wear out? You know, well, the NFC South, the Saints have a one-game lead over Carolina, 6-1. Carolina's 5-2. But I mean, in the NFC West, the Rams basically have the win at NFC West already wrapped up.
Exactly,
they have a four-game lead after 8 games.
Yeah, gosh. And you're right. Mathematically, it's almost over, and they're going to run away with that one regardless. But that's where I think you got to play New Orleans in this one, because Mark likes to use the analogy of, you know, when a team's really good on that undefeated streak, about the rubber band just keeps, you know, pressurized, eventually snaps. I think here's where it snaps from. They had almost snapped last week, probably should have against Green Bay. They're outplayed most of the way, 10-point deficit. They got some breaks late. You know, got that fumble from Ty Montgomery, who paid for it with his job. And they've had some close games on the road. Everyone knows how hard it is to win in other environments, but the Rams got pretty fortunate to escape. You realize they beat Seattle and Denver by 5 combined points, trailed in both those games late. And to me, it's just the perfect storm. The Saints are undefeated since week one. They got caught off guard a little bit against Tampa Bay in that great game, you know, Fitzmagic had in the first week. They've won every game since, and the Saints just keep improving. It's one of those things. Their defense, just like last year, was dreadful at first. It's gotten progressively better every single week, to where they haven't allowed more than 21 points in, like, the last 4 weeks. I just feel like this perfect storm for the Saints to knock them off.
The Rams, Mark, are 9-19-1 against the spread their last 29 games on field turf. So, I mean, I know the offenses are built, you know, so they play better on certain surfaces. You know, I would have actually not thought it would be the other way around with the speed and the way this Rams team plays. But
yeah, and this is their first dome game of the year. But that's you'd think those numbers would be a little skewed the other way.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was saying. So
I think it's tough. I mean, you're basically saying the Saints have to win to cover. I mean, essentially. And so I think it's tough, tough position to be in. I mean, you got to think there's going to be a lot of points, but I know the total's going down a little bit, right? It was 61 to start. I have 59.5. Is that where it sits now?
No, it opened back at up 60.5, and it's down to 57.5. A 3-point move on the under in this game. A 3-point move.
Yeah, it makes me want to go over. Even though it is such a high total, but, you know, we always say pick the high total over and the low total under. So, looks like Bears under to Rams over.
Looks like Mark Shannon just texted me his picks for this weekend. There is something that he likes tonight. Mark Shannon, a basketball official, he likes an NBA game tonight. The Raptors and the Suns over. Raptors and the Suns over. Mark, thanks for that information. And I'll post his football picks on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. I just wanted to make sure I got this out because this NBA game is tonight. Mark Shannon likes the Raptors and the Suns over tonight. Over. So, anyways, going back to this Saints game, yeah, I'm with you guys. I mean, it looks to be a shootout, you know. But the one thing that the identity of the Saints has changed. The Saints are a running team now, not a passing team. I know. I think it was last week that Drew Brees only threw for like
120.
120.
And 18 completions. And I told you, Ken, but the running game didn't get anything either. The Saints only got 250 total yards, and it was just there was actually defense that played the, you know, made the difference against Minnesota.
Which is crazy, because remember week one, that defense was supposed to be one of the premier defenses in the NFL, and week one they just got destroyed, absolutely destroyed. So, Josh, I don't know. I mean, I think, golly, I mean, I guess maybe on the.
I feel like the Rams used up their last, you know, good luck finish last week. Don't you feel like it's time?
I think the value in this, Josh, is the white card that Nick used, 60.5, and there's a 3-point move on the total. And the great thing about this game is it's a late 1 o'clock game. So if you like any of the early games, throw the under in, under 60.5, and if you get to that game, you can play back.
Hedge it off the app.
Yeah, hedge it off the app. Fire up the app and hedge, and you got a 3-point middle. Mark, is it getting
I'm not stepping in front of the train.
No, Mark.
So I'll take the Rams. I understand people taking the Saints.
No, we're talking about the total. Of the
I understand.
The 3-point edge, because it's a 125 game.
I understand that, but
Ken, how sweet would that be?
I would put the over in that parlay
situation. If you had like an eight teamer, though, and you could somehow hedge it off to that, if you could somehow leave that dangling, what a sweet middle that would be.
Well, if you make an eight teamer, you're getting paid for the seven. You're really on. You hit a seven teamer with a chance to make it an eight teamer, or
that'd be sweet. And 125, so you'd have time to think and get your bankroll figured out.
That's my point.
If the number stays there.
It's 60.5 on the card.
I know.
Mark.
I'm saying if it stays at 57.5.
You think it's going? You think by game time
it's going to go back up? Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
I know.
But you can bet your parlay right now and put your afternoon game in there.
I'm going to. That's what I'm telling the listeners. This guy's learning.
Don't wait.
This kid.
What I'm saying is don't wait. I understand what you're saying.
Kid is learning something. So let's. I don't want to.
You had me from hello, Ken.
I don't want to get into this next game until after the break. It's the Patriots and the Packers. It's the late game on Sunday. So, but anyways, with all being said, let's talk a little bit about what we saw last night and the Raiders and the 49ers and how bad. I mean, Twitter is just blowing up John Gruden, and it's. I kind of agree with it a little bit. I think he's lost his team. I think Derek Carr's lost his team.
He's not trying to have this team. He's preparing for the future.
I don't know, man.
He's stockpiling money to spend on players that want to play for the Raiders.
I think that's what it appears like, but I think that
and he's got a 10-year deal, and he's got leeway with the owner, so he's clutching his muscle.
McKenzie's going to be out of there, meaning Gruden's running the whole show by next year.
It's clear that he's running it.
Right, and McKenzie's in the last year of his contract, so they didn't pay Gruden $10 million a year. It's going to be like the Mike Holmgren situation. He's going to be running the whole operation. And Ken, I don't think they came into that year with this intention, but I think along with everyone else, I thought Gruden anticipated they'd be pretty good, at least decent enough to compete in the AFC West. It was just one thing after another. The Khalil Mack thing happened, and then they had some other bad injuries and misfortune. They lost a bunch of close games early, and I just think they decided that with the way things were going, they had to do that.
I have to cut you off, Josh. We have to go off to traffic. We'll continue this when we come back on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back here at the Club Caniva on ESPN 94.5 FM. I'm here with Josh Nagle from Sportsline. I'm Kenny B. and Mark the Kid Vespy across from me. And hey, Wyatt Turner just liked us on Facebook, and he's got great Battleborn stuff there. His logo is awesome.
It's cool.
Got the Wolfpack head with the Battleborn flag. So thanks for liking the Facebook page, Wyatt, Kenny B., ESPN Sports Handicap.
Say hello to Doc.
Doc Holliday. Wyatt.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
What about Ike?
Patriots, Packers?
You're changing the. Anyway, Patriots, Packers. Patriots at home, laying 5.5 to Green Bay. Totals 56.5. I am going to talk a long time about this game. Actually, I'm not. I do have a pretty solid opinion on the game, though. But I'm going to turn this over to Mark because I know that Mark is the Patriots. Excuse me, 6-2, 5-3 versus the spread this year. You look a Green Bay team that's only 3-3 this year, and they're 3-3. I don't know what to think about this. You know, this Green Bay team are 3-3-1. You know, with Chicago, one game back of Chicago and Minnesota. They've scored 175 points this year, and they've given up 173. Pretty mediocrity.
Yeah, and I mean, they put up a great effort last week. I mean, for all intents and purposes, should have won that game probably. That's a tough stretch, man, going to L.A. to play the Rams, then having to go to play New England the following week. And do they have enough? You know, I mean, can Rodgers carry enough to push him through and get the W here? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers went in there and won this game just because – of the quarterback situation, but those Patriots in prime time, I always lean to the Patriots. They usually, they rarely let me down in these situations, let's put it that way. So I already bet the over, I'll probably have Patriots and over in a teaser situation, something like that. But I look for the Patriots to roll in this game, actually.
Yeah, I like the Patriots a little bit as well, because I think getting this number inside of a touchdown is basically just a reflection of the respect that Aaron Rodgers generates. And as we've talked about, the Packers overall aren't that good. I was surprised. I mean, they did play a good game last week and probably did deserve to beat the Rams, Mark. But if you look at even some of the games they've won, they're a couple plays away from being a disaster, from being a one win. They rolled over Buffalo, right, thinking like week two. That's it. Otherwise, remember, they had a 20-point comeback against Chicago on the first night. And
Niners.
They should have lost that one as well. They're down 7 with whatever minute and a half left. And so they've pulled out a couple games against marginal competition to barely get there. 3-3-1 could easily be 1-6. And they probably could have lost to the Vikings too. So I do believe, otherwise they still don't have much of a run game. The defense is suspect. And It feels, yeah, it, like you said, Patriots in primetime, this is usually a pretty good spot for them.
I like the Packers. I really do. I think the Packers can keep this game close. I think he's Rodgers is going to be able to throw the ball all over the yard. You know, I'm not impressed with what New England is doing on defense. I know that they're the bend don't break style of defense. And I'm not just saying this, Mark, because you're a Patriot fan. I honestly believe this. You know, I know that Green Bay plays high. Of their last 30 games, 23 have went over. So their last 30 games are 23 overs, 7 unders. I think Green Bay's going to be able to go in there and keep pace. And they might win. The Patriots might win the game, but I like the 5.5 points, Mark. I really do. I think that, you know, getting 5.5 points in a game where Green Bay has to win. I mean, we talked a little bit about, you know, about division records. Green Bay already has, or excuse me, New England has a two-game lead over Miami right now at 6-2, and Miami's 4-4. And on the other side of the token, you have Green Bay that's still trying to, you know, their game,
like,
back in the North.
It's like you said last week, though. Just because a team has to win doesn't mean they're going to.
Well, I agree with that. But,
you know what I mean? It's the Packers, there's definitely value anytime you give Rodgers 5 and 6 and 7 points. I mean, it's just, you know, like you said, it is a reflection of it because I think it started 6.5, didn't it? So, I mean, it's already going the Packers' way. I know there's a lot of sharps on the Packers.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard that all week on various radio stations. But, you know, Patriots, I'm just looking for them to survive this game and get the W. But primetime Patriots, like I said, they usually – rise up, and you don't think Brady's going to take a challenge of Rodgers going in there? Please.
No, right. This is the type of thing that makes him inspired.
This motivates him like nothing else.
Yep. I'm looking at the stat. I'm looking at where we're ranked in this. You know, Green Bay, the number 5th offense in the NFL at 412 yards a game. New England is number 11 at 381. So they have a higher-ranked offense. Let's see what we have on defense here. I know that the where is Green Bay on here for the defensive rankings? Defensive rankings, Green Bay. I can't find it.
That, you know, the number is like that.
Oh, 12. Green Bay's number 12 on defense. So Green Bay has a higher-ranked offense and defense, and I'm getting 5.5 points. I'm not trying to say anything that, other than I think Green Bay's going to be in the game.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that think that. So, I mean, they might be on the right side.
It says Jesse James says relax. So,
to
but
whom?
I guess he's just making a comment. You know how Aaron Rodgers always says, "Relax."
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's almost like it's the same position. I guess the question here is, this is what Green Bay does. So that's from Jesse James, one of our listeners.
I mean, they got rid of two of their.
I have a question.
Great players last week, and now they're better this week.
Well, they got rid of Clinton Ha-Ha-Dix and Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, he's the second best safety in football.
So you think that Ty Montgomery is a good player?
I think he's a good player. I think he's a knucklehead.
I think he's a
damn good player.
The question is how many is Clay Matthews going to rough Tom Brady? Absolutely. I'm going to tell Nick to put up a prop.
He probably won't actually rough him, but he'll get called for it.
That's what I mean. Will there be a roughing the penalty?
Oh, we got to have that prop up for sure.
I'm going to text
Nick. But it's got to be just Clay Matthews.
Yeah, will Clay Matthews get a roughing the passer penalty?
Yeah, let's call
probably.
Nick. Let's get that up. Huh? Let's get that up on the board.
So I'm going to take the yes.
I'll take the yes as well.
He'll make it like plus 250, and I'll put a hundo on it just to see. Why not, Josh? I love stuff like this. So what game? So you guys both lean Patriots. I'm going to take the Packers. Dallas at home versus the Texans. The Cowboys opened at 6.5. It's down to 5.5. So a full point move on the Titans. You know, initially, I would say that I like the Titans in this spot. You know, I really would think that. But, you know, going back and looking at the game, they can't protect the quarterback. The Ravens just had 11 sacks. 11 sacks versus the Titans. And the one thing Dallas has been able to do this year, they've been able to play defense. They have a third-rate defense in the NFL. They have 19 sacks on the year. So I think Dallas is going to be able to get to the quarterback here. Now, Dallas, I guess the question is, guys, is Dallas – good enough on offense where they can separate. Everybody knows they went out and got Amari Cooper. He's had a 2 weeks to learn the system. And everything I read this today was saying that Dallas is not going to ease him in to the system. They're opening up the playbook to him. So I think we might see a different dynamic in defense when it comes to Dallas. I think Dallas wins this game handily. I really do. I think that, you know, it's a motivational game for them. You know, Dallas is, you know, they're right there. They're three and four right now. They're one game below 500. Washington's 5-2. They can't afford to lose this game. You know, I think a wounded Titan team going into Dallas just, and I'm not, and everybody knows I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. So this is not this. I'm not a homer Dallas Cowboy fan. I love to bet against the Cowboys. I really do. But there's these games that happen every once in a while. You know, where Dallas just rises up. And I think, you know, Tennessee, they're giving up 112 yards a game on the ground. And I think you're going to get a big dose of I almost said Emmitt Smith.
Ezekiel Elliott.
And I think they're going to work some stuff in for Cooper. And I think that – or to Cooper. And I think that Dallas is going to win this game, guys.
Yeah, you know what? I'm curious to see how Dallas looks with Amari Cooper in there. It's obviously something that they needed. They're lacking that big play receiver and offense, and how much they worked him in since he joined the team, and can he be, you know, effective right away? I'm curious to see how they look. I have difficulty in this one, though, because the Titans are hard to figure out. For instance, I did take the points with them against the Chargers. I feel like in those spots, they're usually pretty good. When they're grabbing a ton of points, they kind of hang around better than you expect. But some of the points you made, Ken, about it being a good situational spot for Dallas, I think are right on, too. So, it's probably a pass, but if it came right down to it, I'd take the points, but not too confidently.
Yeah, and you, every time Dallas is laying 6-7 points at home, they let me down every time.
I agree.
It's just tough. I know a lot of the sentiment is for the Titans just because, you know, it's a low-scoring total, 40.5, so that 6.5, it looks even bigger. You know, there's a premium on that, and like, the thing about it is, you know, how are the Titans going to score? You know, that's the thing. Cowboys have played really well at home. I want to take the Cowboys and lay that touchdown, especially with everything considered, but it's just so tough to believe in the Cowboys to lay that kind of points at home. I think it'll be a tight, low-scoring battle, so I would lean Titans, but I'm probably going to wait till game time and figure this one out. Maybe close out some teasers with the Cowboys or something like that, because I don't see the Titans going in. Winning. Cowboys are 3-0 at home, and they played well at home. And they will get a boost from a Cooper, even if he's not in the, you know, even if he's a decoy in some situations, really. I think that'll even help out. You know, sometimes while they're getting these receivers into the flow of the offense, they use them as decoys in other situations or, you know, give them some running plays or just work them in different ways.
Do you think Amari Cooper, is he good enough to be a true number one?
Yes, I do. I do. I think – but I'm not sure if Dak is the right quarterback to make him a number one. I believed in Dak 2 years ago, but he's regressed a little
bit. What happened? Totally.
I don't know. In my opinion, he's regressed, and I don't know why.
Well, he's got no weapons.
Yeah, safety blanket.
Well, that's true.
And Dallas did
come out and acknowledge Mark and Josh.
Give him the Rams receivers and see how he does.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Dallas did come out and acknowledge the fact that the wide receiver by committee – did not work, and that's what they were trying to do. They thought, you know, we have a good enough team where we can just throw anybody. They went out and got Allen Hearns.
Yeah, basically Cole Beasley's out
there.
Yeah, right.
Exactly, you know, and things like that. So I see what Dallas is trying to do, and they're banged up on the offensive line, but they're getting healthier, and they fired their offensive line coach and just hired a new offensive line coach. So with all that being said, you know, and I look, you know, we look at these teams. Look at Tennessee, guys, 3-4. 3-4. I think that's the most overachieving 3-4 team I've ever seen. They've scored less points than they've given up.
Oh, their offense is awful.
106. They scored 106 points this year. 106 points. That's the lowest amount in the AFC. Oh, excuse me. Buffalo scored 87. That's the second lowest amount of points in the AFC.
Okay, I'm on the Cowboys.
Yeah,
talk me into it.
Yeah, Ken, it sort of makes their competitiveness even that much more impressive. When on paper, they look really less than mediocre.
Think about when Dak came out and he had Witten and, you know, all these receivers. And, you know,
and
just
Elliott
like,
was a rookie.
Yeah, and Elliott was a rookie and just
– the Arizona Cardinals have scored more points
than
the Titans.
All these weapons, and he benefited from it.
Know,
so now
Josh,
you take the weapons away and he struggles, and people are like, yeah, oh, surprise.
You know, so you see what I'm saying, Josh. And
I do.
That's the reason I really like Dallas this week. I do, guys. And you know, and like,
you usually don't say that unless you
no,
really.
Yeah, because I'm not the guy just going to say, "Oh, bet the Dallas Cowboys," because I'm a fan. I'm the first critic of Dallas. But they've
True.
Scored 106 points this year, guys. They've given up 127 points. So I like Dallas, guys. That's just that's where my cash is going.
All right, I'm leaning there too.
And I'm going to write this down because we're at the end of the show. I'm going to post our picks. We'll give our picks. Then we'll post them on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicap. recapping. Let's head off to our last commercial break. When we come back, we still got to talk about college football and UFC, which we'll be showing here at the Club Count Eva tomorrow for $10. You can watch the UFC card here in the big event room. It's a glass enclosed, smoke-free event room. $10 UFC, and I'm going to get your picks, Josh, and Jesse James is going to send me his picks, and so we're going to have some UFC thought after this commercial break on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the last segment of the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B. I can't even get out of your driveway without falling. What is he talking about? Anyways, Mark Shannon was asking me a question, and I saw a different text where it said what I thought the line is going to be in Tuesday's basketball, Wolfpack basketball game versus BYU. I think the Pack's going to be favored by 8. That's my guess. 8.
All right, Ken, just for conversation's sake, I'll go with 10. I bet you they give them double figures, 10.
If it's double figures, they're going to have a bet. I'm going to have a bet on BYU.
All right.
With that being said, Josh, let's go college football real quick. Let's jump into that before we get to the UFC. I know there's one game still left to be played tonight, Arizona versus Colorado. Arizona's laying 3.5 off of the William Hill half-point card. In my tout stuff, a lot of people are lined up on Colorado.
Yeah, it's a tough game, honestly. So far, it's a pass. I'll say this, Ken, actually. I did play on the app a while ago. I played the over. I think we're going to see some offense in that game, although it could be I don't know what the weather's like in Boulder. There could be some concerns there if it's really cold and rainy. Could slow them down. But I actually think both teams will get up and down the field a little bit. Arizona's been, you know, underachieving. Or actually, I should take that back. It's at Arizona, so I guess there's no weather concern. They've been underachieving, but they've been coming back a little bit lately, Arizona. And Colorado's starting to fade, so I know you mentioned sentiment. It's on Colorado. But inside of 3, I'd probably play Arizona. But I did play the over at 57. I think that's the play for me.
All right, there you go. I really don't have a whole lot of opinion on it. I can probably round something up on my website right here, just see what we got here. But, Josh, I know there's a lot of other high-profile games that you mentioned earlier in the show, so I'm just going to kind of let you lead into this. I know we have the big Alabama game. We got Penn
State.
Sure,
there's an absolute ton, Ken. But the bottom line is the one I like the most from the betting perspective. I'll just give you a couple real quick because this one's a little bit lower key than those huge games. The one I like a lot because the spread keeps going the other way, actually, is Wake Forest at home against Syracuse. They're getting at one point 6.5, almost 7. I got 6 today. I just think it's a huge letdown spot for Syracuse. They just wrapped up. They're having a big year, but they got bowl eligible last week, and they beat NC State in a real exciting game. But I think the huge thing for them was getting those 6 wins. Now, Wake Forest has had a down year. They're only 4-4, but they blew out Louisville last week. They're finally starting to get their feet under them. They've had some injury, other issues. The defense for them, which has normally been good, has been bad this year. I just feel like Syracuse is going to be caught sleeping down there. And Wake, I think, is going to win outright. So plus 210 money line, 6.5 points is pretty good.
Who is it?
Wake Forest. And that'll be, you know, in the top plays we put on our page. Other ones, for instance, a high-profile Ohio State, minus 18 against Nebraska. I think the Buckeyes all day. Like the Nebraska starting to come back, play pretty well. But 18 for Ohio State in this one just feels a little light to me. I like that one. And a couple another big one, like I said, for the SEC East title, Georgia, who would have thought with Kentucky, right? It's usually it's a big season. It's a huge deal for them when they win 7 like they did last year, simply reach a bowl game. Big milestone for them, for a team that's always, you know, struggles against to keep up their talent and everything against the SEC competition. But they've been so solid this year. Who would have thought? Ken, Kentucky has a better defense than Alabama. Statistically, it's true. Number 2 in the country, giving up 13 points a game.
And the same conference, right?
Kentucky. Yeah, and so they're rock solid. And, yeah, I think it comes to an end tomorrow. They're playing Georgia, who, you know, made the playoff. They're looking to get back in the SEC title game. They blew out Florida last week in a pretty good game. I think they're getting back on track, too. So I'm going to play Georgia minus 9 in that one.
All right. Is that all that you really like?
Well, there's a few other. I mean, like, Notre Dame, Northwestern tomorrow. We know Notre Dame's now in the top 4 looking for that playoff berth. We know Northwestern's just been a nightmare for everyone at home. For some reason, God, they get there. They almost beat Michigan, did beat Wisconsin last week. You go in there, and it seems like you don't think of much of Northwestern on paper, but they find a ways to stick around and always seem to cover these big ones at home. Having said that, I don't think tomorrow. I think Notre Dame's got too much for them. That's one of those where after beating Wisconsin, I think it's a bit of a letdown spot, and I think Notre Dame rolls them pretty good.
My parlay will have Cormier as the last leg, but Lewis in the main event. Oh, that doesn't make sense. I have to reread what Jesse James wrote about the USC. Mark, you have any college football games that you want to talk about?
Yes, I love Florida and Texas.
Florida and Texas? Who are they fighting?
Florida plays Mizzou, and Locke seems to have a lot of trouble with these better defenses. Missouri just, they couldn't move the ball against Kentucky. And obviously, Kentucky has a really good defense, but They had eight straight three and outs to end that game last week, and I think they're going in the swamp. I think Florida just puts the hammer down on them. And I like the spot for Texas, too, against West Virginia. Short number at home. I think Texas in this spot is looking to have a big game, so
the winner
I'll
this,
take them.
The winner of this game, it's an interesting game for the Big 12 championship because all those teams have one loss. But you know, Texas lost to Oklahoma State. Texas beat Oklahoma, so they have one loss. West Virginia, who do they lose to?
Iowa State.
They lost to Iowa State, and now they're playing Texas. So one of these two teams is going to have two losses, and then Oklahoma is still yet to play West Virginia. That's the last game of the year. So two teams are going to – the winner, the
exactly.
top two teams. I mean, it's a huge game.
No, you're right. It clarifies the picture quite a bit because yes. there's a big cluster of three teams at the top right now.
Right, exactly. So that's being said. You know, and I look at these games. Mark, do you have any opinion on tonight's game, Arizona-Colorado?
I have Colorado just in a teaser situation. Colorado's tough right now to get on the right side. There seem to be a little bit of a disconnect there. I'm not sure what's going on. They blew that game against Oregon State, and it's kind of hard to see where they're – psyche's going to be, but I think they'll bounce back and have a good game against Arizona.
By the way, Mark, funny you mentioned that. That's worth noting. No one's talking about it. That's just crazy. Oregon State, who we saw, of course, play the Pack earlier this year, make a similar comeback that came up short. But that's just obscene from a team. I mean, Colorado, you know, is a bowl-worthy team. It was playing really well, took Washington to the wire. Oregon State, it's not just like they beat them, Ken, down 31 points in the second half, comes back and wins, 31 points down.
Who's that?
Oregon State last
yeah.
week against Colorado. And they were, I think, a 24-point dog for the game. That's one of the biggest upsets of the year.
Did Pack beat Oregon State?
Yeah.
Yeah. They did. Kid, Mark, Penn State, Michigan.
Yeah, I think Michigan's got a little payback from last year coming. I think they have a good chance to cover that 10.5. Well,
it's
was,
too many points.
It was 9.5,
and
now it's – oh, is it 12 and a half now?
It's 12, yeah.
Yeah, it's starting to get in crazy territory there. I like Michigan to win this game, and Franklin kind of ran it up on him last year, so Harbaugh, he has that same situation this year. I could see Michigan putting up a couple late touchdowns to pull away.
10.5 on the half-point card, 12 on the board.
Michigan's
right now.
Pass defense is ridiculous. Their whole defense is ridiculous, but number one against the pass, number seven against the rush in the country, so look for them to step up and have a big game against McSorley.
I know a lot of people are on Northwestern versus Notre Dame, too, at plus 10.
I like Northwestern. In this spot, they've covered, you know, as a dog, they've covered 4-0. And in the other side, they're 4-0 against, or 0-4 against as a favorite. So, I mean, Notre Dame, I heard what you were saying when I was walking up, Josh. Notre Dame might have a little too much for them. That's probably true. If they do cover, I don't seem like winning the game or anything. I think it'll be close to that number to get the cover.
All right, I got to throw the last one out there. Do you guys, Alabama, LSU? Alabama laying right around two touchdowns right now.
Yeah, see, that's a tough one, Ken, because we know Alabama's just been putting up these otherworldly numbers, right? But it's been, by and large, against somewhat, you know, marginal competition, by and large. I mean, it's not surprising that they roll it up against, you know, Missouri and whoever else, Arkansas State and Ole Miss. These are all teams that can't play, you know, lick of defense. LSU can. So I just find it's an interesting number because Alabama's been crushing these huge numbers, 29 or higher. They've been crushing the number pretty good, covering almost all of them. And then you get where LSU's overachieved. You know, they can play some defense, but Alabama always kind of has their number. One interesting stat about this game, Ken, as I read, I'm sort of fascinated, but the playoff system's been around now. This is the fifth year. But LSU's the first team to be ranked in the top four in the playoffs and be a home underdog, which is interesting if you think about it. They're rated
two touchdowns.
Yeah, third best team in the country. So if the playoffs started today, LSU would be the third seed. And they're a two touchdown dog. Yeah. Shows you the respect Alabama gets.
Yep.
And having said that, I wonder if, I mean, LSU has been, you know, blown out once. I struggle with this one because I'd love to take the points, but I can't fade Alabama.
All right, Wolfpack off this week. Come back home next week versus Colorado State. Wolfpack's got 5 wins right now. Everybody knows I have a huge bet at over 5.5, so I'm already guaranteed not to lose any money because worst case scenario they go 0-2 their next two. I can still lay off on the Vegas game, and I'm in a great spot there. Wolfpack will be favored in these last 3 games. My prediction is they win all 3 games. Wolfpack ends up with 8 win season. Josh, UFC, we're showing it here at the Club Count Eva tomorrow for $10 in the event room. So we'll be showing the UFC. You got the sheet right there. We'll be posting some picks on our Facebook page at Can You Beat ESPN Sports Handicapping, but you have the listener's attention right now.
Oh, yeah, well, it's an interesting card in some ways. There's not a lot, you know, of the bets I could let you know. Not a ton that stands out to me, you know, as we speak. But as I mentioned to you before the show, I find that main event kind of interesting in the sense that I think a lot of people don't realize what's going on with Daniel Cormier and Derek Lewis. And Lewis is known more or less for just being a funny guy. He's a decent heavyweight who sort of went from above journeyman status to top five contender in the past year because he's landed some pretty good, you know, victories. But he's one of those guys who's known. He's got a great power shot. He can knock guys out, but he also has really bad cardio. He doesn't last very long. And there's also been times where he's come off miracle victories. But, Ken, they're trying to set it up for Cormier, right, where he gets possibly this Brock Lesnar fight and gets to retire. But people don't realize it was Derek Lewis fought literally a month. He fought October 6th in a fight he was losing most of the way, and they throw him in the cage less than a month later. And I just think that's absolutely ridiculous.
Landed a haymaker to win the fight.
Yeah, with 15 seconds left. Again, you know, and so I think people don't realize what the criticisms of the UFC and who they hype and who they favor. To allow Derek Lewis to even get back in the ring 1 month later is just irresponsible.
Jesse James likes three dogs right now. He does like DC in the main event. And, you know, Daniel Cormier right now, he's minus $8. All he does is find a way to win.
Does he like Jakari Souza or Ronaldo Souza?
He does.
Yeah,
he
likes that's a good one.
He likes Souza. He likes Souza over Weidman. And he likes Moraz over Arce. And he likes Keller over Jackson. And I'll post these on our Facebook page, too. And he'll come up with some more UFC stuff. So with that said, it's all going to be posted on KDB ESPN Sports Handicapping. It's time to get out our picks. So, John the Hawk Stevens, he's not here tonight, but he's going to go with the Houston Texans, the New Orleans Saints, the Seattle Seahawks. Then he likes two college games, Colorado tonight and Alabama. Mark, you ready to roll?
Yeah, I'll take the Seahawks as well, and I'll take the Carolina game over, Minnesota Vikings. And in college, I'll take Florida and Texas.
All right, I'll go with Browns, Falcons, Saints,
Browns,
Wake Forest,
Falcons,
and Georgia.
All right, go. What about Ohio State?
Yeah, we could throw them in there also.
So you like Cleveland, Atlanta?
Right, and New Orleans.
New Orleans Saints, okay. I'm going to go with Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Dallas. I'm going to go with Alabama and Texas A&M. And on Tuesday, if BYU is getting 10 or more points, I'm going to take BYU versus the Nevada Wolfpack. Mark Shannon likes the Cleveland Browns, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Tennessee Titans. So make sure we're going to post these on our Facebook page at ESPN 94.5 FM. You can watch the fight here at the Club Count Eva for $10 tomorrow. See you next week on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.5.